Today on the Cooligans, we are ranking our worst MLS designated players. There's a lot to pick from. I am sorry if one of them is on your team, but we go through all of them.
That's right. But it probably is on your team. Thank you for watching and listening. And then we talk about the red card against Szoboszlai. Christian and I argue, should we follow the rules or should we go with what the vibes are? Guess which one I'm picking. And then after that, Pochettino told Tim Ware, "You no speak in politiki," and we don't agree with that. That and more today on the Cooligans.
Living in a post Bad Bunny halftime show era. Things a little bit different now.
Explain to me some of the differences, because not what I saw on the internet.
The difference is more people are upset than usual. We were talking about on Patreon, we were talking about how upset people were going to be. We expected it. You know, we recorded this several days beforehand when we were doing our Bad Bunny Best 11s.
Yeah.
And I just want to highlight from our Bad Bunny Best 11, which was generally well.
Congratulations on winning, by the way. You won the vote.
I won the vote, and then I also won how many songs from my 11 made it to the actual Super Bowl.
Yeah, when we first went, when you first said asked me to put this together, you didn't tell me that this was going to be a set list. I didn't see that until I saw the graphic, and I was like, "Oh well, clearly he's not going to do the song." No,
that wasn't necessarily the competition either. My 11.
But you did put set list wish list.
I did, yeah, because it was relevant to the Super Bowl.
I want everyone to know I was not aware of that. I would have made difference, but still, those are my favorite 11.
Yeah,
songs.
And those are still my favorite 11.
Yeah,
and it just you had two songs from your list.
Yeah, because I went a little bit more old school.
Right.
He didn't go that far back.
I have five.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Okay, so that's it. Christian wins again.
Yeah. Right? In a competition I didn't know we were having. Not bad. Not damn, bad. Congratulations. Congratulations.
You know what?
Yeah, sometimes you got to set up your own rules to win.
Some people say life is a competition. Okay? Yeah. I'm just winning all these. But, it was amazing. I mean, that's really, a lot of times there's a certain level of the negativity around it. Obviously, it doesn't necessarily feel real. I think we're in a place where when we see people complaining about Bad Bunny's performance, I'm like, okay, what exact agenda do you have? Because there's no way you're just this upset over just somebody performing at the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, you know, a lot of times people are like, keep politics out of sports or whatever. The Super Bowl halftime show is now a political.
Well, these people weren't complaining about Coldplay. They ain't American citizens. You know what I mean? Complaining about.
They were having affairs in the crowd.
Watching Coldplay. You know what I mean? Yeah, here diddling each other. The secretary and the CEO and the director of comms.
I mean, but the wild levels of racism that seem to be sort of almost normalized. Where I feel like.
I think it's actually good though. Like, let me know you're gonna watch the Turning Point concert instead, because then I know the food you serve in his ass.
I mean,
Super Bowl watch party.
If you chose to watch the Turning Point USA halftime show, I mean,
there's a lot of prepackaged cheese. You know what I mean?
I know everything I need to know about
you.
Yeah,
you buy pre-shredded cheese.
But nah, man.
I went to a party that had alcapurrias, bro.
Okay.
You know what
solid.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I went to a party that had a Puerto Rican flag bootleg Jordans on the table.
Okay.
Bro, we went all in. You feel me?
I love it. I love it.
Come on,
This is, it's one of those. It's very rare for me to be like watching any performance of any kind and be like, I feel seen.
Yeah.
One of the things. But this genuinely.
No, when they woke
that.
Up the child sleeping on the seats, I said, God. No, that's pure Latin culture.
You're speaking to me, bro.
You have no idea what my youth was like, sir. Wait a minute, Bad Bunny does. So you don't know what it's like to wake up at 3 a.m. from a wildly comfortable sleep next to the speakers.
It also says a lot about the state of this country when in the moment during the performance when he gives his Grammy Award to the little boy, which turned out to be a child actor.
It was supposed to be someone mimicking him.
It was
the
young version of himself, kind of telling himself that you can do anything, you can be anything that you want to be. But as soon as I initially had this instinct as well. I thought that was Liam Conejo Ramos, the little boy that was detained and taken with his dad in Minnesota. So, but and it might as well have been. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many, like...
I didn't think that at all.
Lots of people...
I'm sure people thought that. Yeah, yeah. I immediately thought, oh, that's him giving himself a gram, being like, things are going to be fine in the future.
Sure,
maybe I'm just a little bit more... Maybe I won this competition of understanding the art.
No,
you know?
I thought that is what it was as well. But yeah. But he used the boy that was that got just returned from being detained as that person, which
right.
could have very much it looked like the same boy. I'm just saying it just says about
so all Latinos look the same to you, dog. You know what I'm saying? All 5-year-olds look the same to you.
Sure, why not? Hey, put it on.
Yeah, put that on. Put that on a shirt. Actually,
cancel me. Whatever you want to do. All 5-year-old boys look exactly the same. But no, I think it says a lot about that you know. People were looking for that, and I completely expected that kind of a statement from Bad Bunny, or even from a Super Bowl halftime show, because that's how politically or like a cultural kind of moving point that performance could be. So that's what I'm saying. It just goes to the whole people not wanting politics in their sports. It is just it is a ridiculous request. It's impossible to separate them.
Yeah.
And Bad Bunny's performance is a testament to where we are politically. All the flags calling out all the Latino right. nations and stuff like that. Because yes, these are the people that are being targeted in this country. It was like an emotional roller coaster.
It was cool. There was a lot of cultural touch points as well. If you're Puerto Rican, you know, the dancers being shocked in the electrical towers.
Yeah, el apagón.
With the power right. going out. You know, there's so many like little notes of like, you know, him making statements for the island, Ricky Martin and everything he said before and him being there and what that means. And
Lady Gaga.
The biggest star of all. Doñita. Doñita, bro, the head of the owner of the social club, the oldest and longest running Puerto Rican social club in New York City. This wonderful old lady just covered in rings and diamonds. Yeah. She's the one who served them the drink. For her to be able to get that moment.
Pitorro.
Yeah, for her to get that moment, you know what I mean? This lady who's been, if you don't know, she runs a Puerto Rican social club in New York. Anyone could go. You don't have to be Puerto Rican to go there. It's not like the Italian social clubs who are like, you wouldn't want to go in there if you're not Italian. Like, it's very
hey, move your hips a little bit. We want to make sure you're allowed in here.
Yeah, which we'll go. But it's specifically, she serves like $3 beers still to this day because it's just a place to hang out. She makes home-cooked food for everybody, and the landlords have been trying to get her out for years, and every time the community gets around her to save her. So, and she's here in New York. Absolutely incredible. I'm wearing the hat in case you're wondering, but absolutely incredible to tell all those. And I just want to say, Jake Paul forever. That's I just want to say that. So
okay,
and Logan, that wasn't good enough either, bro.
Yeah,
both of y'all.
He's like, he's basically being like, my tax haven. Don't talk about my tax haven like that.
I forgot I lived in Puerto Rico, but suck my forever, Jake Paul.
Okay,
I mean, with your broken jaw.
Okay, yeah, I mean, sure.
We're an Anthony Joshua podcast.
All right, let's get things going. All right, welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
Hey, I'm Alexis Guerrero. Yeah,
the energy is high. The energy is different after that Bad Bunny performance.
Yeah.
Obviously, this entire show is going to be in Puerto Rican Spanish.
Okay. We told Yahoo, don't pay us in dollars. We want to be paid in chavo. Sure.
Which are still American dollars.
But... change the contract. We need to do a control F and change the dollar sign to the word chao.
This is in the wrong language.
Me no entiende, bro.
What is this colonizer language? You're writing these contracts. I don't understand this.
Nah. We will not be oppressed by the dollar sign no more.
So, hot show today. As always, we're going to be talking, obviously, we got some MLS to talk about, Premier League, and then a little bit of drama in the U.S. men's national team. Major League Soccer teams have spent over $1 billion on designated players to grow the game. And sure, for every Messi or Beckham, you get a legend. But sometimes you just get a guy who hates running, hates traveling, and treats the league like a paid vacation. So we are ranking the biggest robberies in MLS histories. The players who looked at their team owners and said, thanks for the cash, and gave absolutely nothing in return. If your team is on this list, we are very, very sorry.
This is the Top Topic.
All right, let me go first. These are the worst DPs in MLS history. I'm going to start with Rafa Márquez.
I mean, a classic, terrible, designated
player. Wow. Reportedly was getting paid $4.6 million a year to do nothing, bro.
Well, look, a lot of the...
He don't even look that interested in this photo, man.
Yeah, obviously, he joined Red Bulls after coming from Barcelona, which is...
So they got two players from Barcelona, him and Thierry Henry. One, you know, Rebel fans love.
Sure.
And the other one, they're like, he was here?
Why is he here? It's very seemingly, from all accounts, kind of just seemed like he did not want to even be here. I mean, a lot of the, you know, the kind of stigma that we have now of right. like retirement league, these old guys, they're just there to make some money. Generally, like, Thierry Henry is an example of like he brought it. He really wanted it, but yeah, he didn't have the same legs that he had back in Europe.
Sure.
But he still had and like when you talk to Bradley Wright Phillips about what it was like to play with Thierry Henry, when you talk to Dax McCarty and you realize he was still insanely intense and like a very
intense competitor, wanted to win, hated to lose. Rafa Márquez didn't know if they won or lost. And that's the difference. Right?
It was the result.
He's like, we played a game today. That's crazy. Why didn't anyone wake me up? if you look at it, he made 50 appearances in total. From what I remember back then, because I, you know, 2010 is a long time before we started our podcast. But from what I remember is like fans were kind of upset about the fact that like he would get red cards for no reason.
Yes. He was sent off in two consecutive playoff games, which knocked the Rebels out.
Yeah.
That made obviously their match is very, very difficult.
Yeah.
So fans have not forgiven him. Why would they? I mean, that's your DP and you're also getting sent off when that is the most important game of the season.
And I think the reason why, because you can understand a player coming in and maybe not fitting in the system maybe not working out or maybe not being happy at the club, which I think a lot of MLS fans don't consider, right? There's teams in Europe you could go to and not have a good fit at the club or the manager doesn't trust you or whatever. But when it comes to a DP, you want them to be great. He came and was like seemingly not fit, kind of angry. And he had just been so good. What an extreme drop off from how good he was in Barcelona. So that's my first one.
Okay, my first one. I'm going to go a little bit more recent.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Olivier Giroud at LAFC. Olivier Giroud.
Was he not sexy anymore? Because I remember him being.
He wasn't as hot as I'm saying he wasn't as hot while we're looking at this photo.
And no, he still is.
He's still, my man looks like.
If anything, he might be hotter.
He looks like an Italian statue right now.
Seriously.
Olivier Giroud, for whatever I can't really make sense of why it didn't work out.
You can't?
I mean, look.
He's the exact opposite of the type of player this team needed.
But that's the thing. It's like on paper or even seeing from like the every sort of team he played on when he was, he had left AC Milan to come to LAFC and was still contributing.
No, he was the same like center forward, put it on my forehead type player. And LAFC likes to run, bro. It was such a shockingly, like, what an incorrect type of player.
You would think he would fit in or settle somehow.
He was too old. He didn't have the legs, bro. He couldn't run the way they wanted to run.
I just saw, he's at Lille right now.
Yeah.
And I think he just scored.
I just saw him play. I was in Lyon and I watched him play Lille. He looks great. Sure, yeah, he came in as a sub. He looked great.
But his 38 appearances, and he, his contract was, they're like, okay, we gotta, this ain't working.
How about we mutually?
I know we agreed to go on a couple dates, but let's cut this out, right?
Can we get divorced, even though this is a legal contract?
Can you annul an MLS contract?
We never consummated it. You barely scored.
It's one of those players where I was excited for the player to come to Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
Thought he was going to do well, and it didn't work out as well. But
made the record show, even from when we talked about it when he signed, I thought this was a mistake. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go back to the records then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, who do you got next?
This one, brace yourselves, Chicago fans. Shaqiri.
What an
absolutely terrible signing. You know, when you hope a player... We talked about Rafa Márquez, a player that came in and seemingly wasn't a good fit, maybe really couldn't get inspired to be. It seemed like this player forgot he signed for the Chicago Fire. $7.5 million. He was the highest paid player in the league and couldn't get his team into the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I do think, I mean, I don't necessarily, like, I didn't put him on my, and I wasn't going to put him on my list because I think there were worse players. But I think he was just on the Fire at a really bad time.
Did he make them better? No, all right. The Hezzy tells you everything. The answer is no.
Not really, but that's why he's on this list to begin with.
This was a bad signing from Get. When you signed him, I actually thought he would be the type of player that would be great in MLS. Someone who wasn't an immediate superstar, but had to work really hard to be a great player. You know, someone who gave it his all. That's the type of player MLS fans love. You know, like the same way British tend to love these types of players who, you know, leave it all on the pitch. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I thought this is going to be great. And man, what a terrible mix. The team sucked. They couldn't build anything around him. You way overpaid him and you didn't get any. There was no return on investment.
That's my biggest issue, is that he was getting paid so much and he didn't.
It was zero ROI, bro. Yeah. This was a bad look. I mean, no fans were at the game.
Fire fans, like, please weigh in. My memories of him at the Fire weren't like abysmal. Like, he had a couple decent moments, but generally, yes, he was bad.
I feel
bad.
Like you're getting FIFA, your times you played, and real life mixed up, because this was bad from the rip.
I don't know if it was just him being bad or him being on a bad team. I think it was more the whole team was bad, and he probably needed to be on a team with a couple decent players to shine.
Christian, highest paid player in the league.
That's my biggest issue with it. Okay.
The league.
My another very highly paid player, my second choice, Lorenzo Insigne. Another one where we just saw what he was doing at Napoli. Did they win?
He was captain of Napoli. It doesn't matter. I don't think they had won. They won the year after, if I'm pretty sure.
But he, a four-year deal, $15 million a season. Very, very high expectation. And then
can we quickly do the math on what that is per week? $15 million divided by 52.
Obviously,
what an insane amount of
Toronto
money.
Toronto FC is clear, like, was so Sebastian Giovinco coded. They were like, we're going to do this again.
But also, think about the insane amount of, like, fresh Italians live in Toronto. One more time, $288,000 a week.
That's a good amount.
That's top level Premier League money.
That's Sterling money now.
Well, 350. Oh my God, Raheem Sterling makes more than $15 million a year.
Raheem Sterling, come to MLS, please. We can pay you, bro.
Raheem, we got you. It may not be what you're getting paid right now, but bro, we got you.
I swear you won't be on this list. Yeah. You're good, bro.
You won't be on the bench either. You gonna play, dog. But yo, Lorenzo Senior making over $250,000 a week at 31 years old is crazy money.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out. But it did feel like he kind of tried, though, no?
He did try. The team was... Injuries were a big problem. Yeah. I think that's what kept him out. I think the vape smoke from Bernadeschi also...
got in his eyes, though. I can't see.
Affected him quite a bit.
Would you say that he was not a bad DP player? It was just a bad DP signing? Would that make sense for him?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a little similar to what I was mentioning with the Fire. Like, the team was in a bad spot. Who's the coach? Was the Canada coach?
Wasn't it Chris Armas?
Was Chris Armas the coach at all for Insigne? I think he was, right? Yeah. A little bit. But then also,
John Herdman.
Herdman.
Oh, my God. What a mistake.
And Herdman was already with the drone scandal.
Yeah.
And that was kind of surrounding his coaching. Wait, Herdman is now the coach in, like, India or something? He's, like, the coach of the India national team or something like that?
Is that true?
Indonesia.
Indonesia.
Yeah dude.
That's the track you follow. Canada women's team, Canada men's team, Toronto FC for a season.
Yeah.
Indonesia.
Well, the goalkeeper for Pai is the goalkeeper for FC Dallas, who I think left, but he is the Indonesia goalkeeper as well, which is another fun little connection.
All right. That autism moment brought to you by Coca-Cola.
Hey.
By Tylenol.
So Insigne, I think injuries were a big issue. And then he got into it with fans a lot. Remember, he was arguing with fans after games. The team was so poor. And I think he wasn't, didn't handle those losses well. Didn't handle the criticism. You get paid that kind of money, especially... the inebriati, right? In Toronto, we've been
those
there.
Fans, yeah, the ones who almost burned down the stadium.
they're intense, bro. Yeah, similar to Italian,
which I will say, Toronto fans changed. It was a waterfall moment in MLS where they started throwing the streamers, and you could see like real supporters culture.
Okay,
like, that started with Toronto
watershed
FC.
Watershed or waterfall? What are you?
It's a watershed moment.
Watershed. You said waterfall moment.
Did I say waterfall? I meant watershed. Well, anyway, that autism moment. Right? There's gonna be a lot of editing on this one.
Okay, all right,
my third. By the way, John Herdman mad at me that I asked him about the AirPod. Remember he used to wear the skin colored AirPod.
Yeah, the Band-Aid, the flesh colored.
Rumor was that he reached out to the television network I used to work for and asked them to remove that from the replays.
Why is that even an issue?
I don't know.
Valid question.
He hated being asked about it. Well, sorry, you wear an AirPod on the sideline, buddy. Maybe that's okay in Indonesia, wherever you are. Let's go. Our third DP, Petey Martinez. Remember him? Petey. Scar in the middle of his forehead to many adders, buddy. This guy, what a signing. And here's the reason why. Got paid a lot of money. He made appearances. Eventually, he found some scoring form under Atlanta United. But I kind of have a feeling that he's the curse that completely ruined the positive vibes, the wonderful
2018. They win MLS Cup 2018.
Yeah, and they're like, everything was going great until you sign this guy. And now look at where Atlanta United is.
Well, they did. They had the, you know, obviously from the first season and Almirón and Joseph Martinez.
All the mistakes started right after signing this guy. Frank De Boer. There were so many.
Who's the Arsenal assistant that is now was the former
Heinze.
Gabriel Heinze. I mean, everybody had a miserable time.
It just everything started falling apart, you know. And it to me, this was the first mistake that they made. So for me,
but they never made any mistakes.
This was the first one. This was like
such
the catalyst.
A string of great players.
They made all the right choices. Darren Eels. Everything was like great, bro. He's dancing on his test. Everything just like all the vibes were great. I kept saying what a mistake it is to go to Atlanta, and I couldn't have been proven more wrong. They don't have a real fan base. They're not going to be a good fan base.
Like
they've lost
United
their baseball
as an
club.
Expansion team.
I was like, don't put soccer in Atlanta. And oh my God, it was like altering. Yeah, it was like I remember going to the final, and we were talking to Poet and Vuj, and we're like, what are your real reactions? We took the cameras down. We said, what are your real reactions? He's like, boy, this is insane.
It's an NFL stadium.
He's like, bro, look at it. He's like, to quote Vuj, he's like, it's pissing down, bro. And look, there's people outside. He's like, there's like six wedding tents outside. There's whole hogs being cooked. He's like, you don't see this in Europe. He's like, and I think most Europeans, if they could get over the MLS hate and would come to this game, they'd go back home going, I wish it was more like this.
Watch our MLS Cup video from it was 7 years ago, but it was a really,
Show you from that to if you go to Atlanta United now, you'd be like, what the hell? And Petey Martinez was the first,
like the beginning of like the downfall.
It was like the guy in the Titanic going, I think the iceberg's a little too close. It was like that. You know? And look at where we are now.
It just the style of look. Obviously, Tata Martino left and went to coach the national team, the Mexican national team. Right after that
worked out well.
Look, and now he's back.
He's
right?
back. Yeah.
So, but Petey Martinez was just we saw what Almirón did. We saw Tito Villalba. Like they had all these players that were just like absolutely fantastic. And Atlanta United was like one of the first of like, let's pluck all these Argentinian guys. And like, it felt like the scouting was just like on a different level.
Well, everyone now being like, do you want to play for Messi? You want to play with Messi? They used to do it with Tata Martino. You want to play for Tata Martino? Exactly, yeah. In fact, Miggy Almirón admitted that when he first signed, he thought he was going to Atalanta. He didn't know Atlanta. It's true. He didn't know Atlanta was like a thing. He was like, I don't care. I'll go wherever Tata Martino is.
Yeah. It was quite a turnaround after that 18 season. So, all right. Good shout, Petey Martinez. Okay. My last one. This is a classic, an OG, and also someone who's like kind of rated one of the like literally the worst MLS DP signing, Danielson.
Oh my God,
FC Dallas.
FC Dallas fans are immediately getting PTSD.
Really, really bad stretch. I mean, he signed. Look, his contract was for $879,000.
If you're watching this, look at his photo. He don't even look. He don't even look interested to be there in the photo.
It also seems like his shorts are mad high. Yeah, or the shorts are too long. I can't tell. It's like
his shorts are off.
Basketball shorts. Yeah. With a proper like a soccer shirt.
The sleeves are also too long on the kid. There's something really weird going on.
But this
is
2007, so you're paying a player nearly $1 million for FC Dallas. That
in 2007, that's insane money for MLS.
That's crazy money. And 10 appearances, one goal, zero assists. It's one of those like
the goal was a penalty, by the way.
That's right.
He scored from the spot, dude. He couldn't even be asked to score regular.
But so with 10 appearances, I mean, he effectively got nearly $100,000 per game. So he really didn't do much of anything. And there were so many comments afterwards.
And I think he refused to play in an Open Cup final. I don't know what happened. He didn't play.
Yeah. I think it was he got dropped. And the FC Dallas were trying to, they said they would consider re-signing him on a with lower wages to like renegotiate his contract. And he didn't want to. He ended up going to Palmeiras. And he was like, oh, this is just MLS. I'm about to figure this out. He couldn't even be. He was a bench. He was a bench warmer.
Yeah,
in Palmeiras. So
may I remind you, this guy played for the World Cup. Played in the World Cup twice.
Right, right. So it's not like a bum.
Yeah,
but this is. I think MLS is in a much better place now with DPs, and not to say that there's a guarantee that they will do well.
No, and it doesn't mean that we're only signing young DP. Like they're still. Older players that you could say retirement league.
Sure, sure. I mean, like Son is an example.
Thomas Muller.
Yeah,
and but it's like, they come here and they're like they're putting it, they're leaving it all on
but
the field.
But they're in those players are coming into an MLS that's in a very different place from a Danielson or whatever.
Yeah,
not to say that he was going to be inspired if he was playing now, but it's a nice sort of luxury to the foundation of the league is in a much better place than it was in 2007. So. You know, you can, I think it's still fair. They should get the same criticism because it didn't look, not only did they not like have the quality to even be in the league, like to have the DP, to have the coach basically be like, I can't even play you.
Yeah, but okay, let's look at, they paid Danielson $897,000, I think.
879, yeah.
879, so let's just call it 900,000.
Mm-hmm.
What's the equivalent now? It's $15 million a year, right? I would say that's
that's not the equivalent. That's not the equivalent.
From 2007 MLS, the percentage of that investment.
I mean, we even
2007 MLS is
probably like five.
How many? No, how many years of the? How many year? When did Beckham sign? 2003? 2004?
Yeah, I think it's four.
That's not that much longer after Beckham. I mean, that's a massive investment.
It's tremendous, especially. Yeah.
2003. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is 4 years after David Beckham. This is before people just started signing DPs. This is like the cusp of that about to happen.
Right.
This is a huge deal. Spending $1 million on a player is insane.
Sure.
And that's the equivalent of Toronto paying $15 million annually to Insigne.
We're going
to
disagree there, I
think because the amount of revenue coming in and whatnot, I honestly believe that that's the equivalent, especially at that time FC Dallas was getting nobody at the stadium. So for me, I'm like, that's an insane investment. For that to not have no return, huge.
Okay. Well, let us know if there's anybody else that we left out. Maybe there were a couple...
Were there any DPs out there that did well, but you kind of still low-key hated, you know?
So, I mean, a couple honorable mentions. I mean, we were trying to think, like, does Steven Gerrard belong?
That's you. That's an honorable mention for you.
Because it's iffy there, but he didn't really contribute that much and didn't look like, even LA Galaxy fans would basically say, like, he had no interest in running around or defending at all.
No, it didn't fit. It didn't fit. I also think, I thought Chicharito was a bad signing. You don't agree.
Not at all.
I think.
I mean, he let the team down in huge moments.
Yeah, and I also don't think you got the return that you wanted. You didn't get the, Mexican superstar going to draw the locals in. I don't think you got that either as much. For those of you who watched the Manchester City-Liverpool match, you probably saw the 103rd-minute red card to Dominic Szoboszlai. I personally believe this was the dumbest red card I've seen in a very long time, and I have a friend here in Christian Blanco who disagrees.
I highly disagree. You got to play by the rules. That's what we do. That's what we do. Otherwise, it would be chaos.
I personally don't think so, because I think you have to look at the way the game should be called. And yes, by the rules, you're right. It is a red card. But in the moment, 103rd minute, you're already down, and the ball goes in anyway, and Erling Haaland also kind of fouls him back.
Kind of, he does.
Then what's the point? Giving the red card only punishes Liverpool for their next match. It does nothing for this match. And by the way, I want you to know that not only am I saying this, but Pep Guardiola agrees with me, Erling Haaland agrees with me. So look at that, three titans of football, me, Pep, and Erling Haaland.
Okay, that's right, yes. Three geniuses. Put him on the Mount Rushmore.
We're seeing here the foul back, and obviously there's the red card.
Yes. But you're in your statement, you just said the only people being punished here are Liverpool and obviously Man City for not getting the goal. But the players do not get punished for no reason. Szoboszlai committed a dog show red card offense. The referee played advantage. He's like, okay, let's see where this play goes. So when advantage is played, that does not mean that the team with the ball that is given advantage, it doesn't mean they can start punching people and kicking people just because the ball ended up going into the net. You can't do whatever you want.
Real quick, did we invent a better sport just now?
You can't just do whatever you want to then help the ball go in the net. Erling Haaland committed a foul. With that, he had advantage. He pulled Szoboszlai back so that he could not clear the ball, and therefore then the ball ended up going in. That's it.
There's pulls, and not to quote Pep Guardiola, one of my good friends, there's pulls throughout the entire game. You don't call all of them equally. Sometimes, especially when, and here's the quote from Pep Guardiola, common sense, no. We won the game, and now Szoboszlai cannot play, and he is suspended. I know he pulled Haaland, but how many pulls are there in a game that referees say, play on, play on, play on? It's the point I'm simply trying to make, and there's a little more to the quote you could read if you want. But what I'm simply trying to say is, in the spirit of the game, they're both pulling. Let's play out the scenario where Dominic Szoboszlai pulls Erling Haaland first. That is exactly what happened.
Red card.
Red card. Let's say he doesn't get pulled back from Erling Haaland. Let's say Erling Haaland doesn't go down, but he is given the chance to what he would have done, which is clear the ball, and the ball doesn't go in. I'm perfectly fine with saying Erling Haaland deserves a penalty. You get a red card.
It wasn't a penalty.
It wasn't a penalty. Box, it was outside the box. But you get a free kick. Sorry.
Yeah.
You get a chance to score because you didn't. The ball going in and Erling Haaland fouling him back, a clear mind can say it's 103rd minute. They're already in the lead. The game is basically over. There's no need to give this man a red card. And that's what I'm simply saying. It goes against the spirit of the game. And I'm a VAR purist. I believe we should have VAR. I believe offside should be, even though it's annoying, if we're going to say it's by this line and you have your toenail off, like what happened at Coventry, as much as I absolutely despise it, if we're going to use this technology, it has to be by the letter of the law. They're in this situation, it's the end of the game. And I'm not saying based on vibes. I'm simply saying the spirit of the game does not call for this to be a red card. The rules do, but this should not be a red card.
But even in the spirit of the game, and let's look at Szoboszlai's perspective. Szoboszlai's perspective, he's arguing with the ref. When the ball went in, he's arguing with the ref. Saying, what is he saying? Is he saying, let the goal go in. And don't give me a red card. He's not saying that.
Yeah.
He's saying, yo, Erling Haaland pulled me. And when I was going to clear the ball.
So you want him to what's it called? A sabuku or whatever, where you stab yourself in the chest sword?
It's just, he's making the argument that I was going to clear the ball and there was not going to be a goal. That's the argument that he was making. So he wasn't saying, don't send me off. He's taking the risk. He took the risk and he got the red. And I haven't seen any comment from Szoboszlai. I can't imagine he'd be that upset, but this is going against, I would argue this is going against the spirit of the game, because the spirit of Szoboszlai is like, yo, I wanted to clear the ball.
No, in that moment, you have to argue what's most important to your club at that moment. You don't have to say,
not
like,
allow the goal.
You don't go, hey, we felled each other. You know what I mean? Because now you're admitting you fell.
Right.
You know, in that moment, what you're trying to do is cause a little bit of chaos and confusion to the ref. So hopefully you don't get the call right. And I think that's actually like a little bit of a straw man argument. I think the point I'm simply trying to make is,
the straw man is Szoboszlai. What are you talking about?
I think I've already said, yes, you are correct by the letter of the law.
Yes.
But you're being a freaking nerd, dog. You're being a teacher, you forgot to give us homework.
I'll make the argument for you. This is the argument you should be making.
No, I'm making the argument I want to make.
The argument you should be making is VAR should not get involved because the ref did give the goal. He was like, he agreed with you. Spirit of the game, just let it go. They were pulling at each other.
I'm talking about refereeing in general. I don't care whether it was VAR. I don't care whether it was the ref on the side. I don't care if it was a fourth official holding the clock. Whoever gave Szoboszlai the red, it just shouldn't happen. I get that it's by the rules, but this is ridiculous. The end of the game. This isn't like, you know when sometimes you see like an assistant coach get a yellow, and I'm like, that affects who? Nobody. This means nothing. That's pointless. Sometimes those things annoy me. This is ridiculous, and this is why purists of the game that don't like VAR and don't like the technology, this goes in their evidence, and I'm kind of like, all right, now you got a point in my eyes, because this to me goes against. Even Erling Haaland was like, come on, dog. This is ridiculous.
It doesn't even matter if the opposing team doesn't agree with the call. Szoboszlai There was no goalkeeper. It was an empty net. He pulled the player.
If this happens, if this happens in the 30th minute, I agree with you. The fact that it's 103rd, you have to understand.
You don't have to do anything. You do. You
should. You of all people should. You play. I don't even really play. You play. In the what happens in that moment, there's pulse throughout the game. It was Erling Haaland didn't go down. If he goes down, there's nothing I can say.
If I'm Erling,
he doesn't go down.
I'm playing.
And in fact, he pulls him and stops him from doing his job. They're pulling at each other. It's the same as when there's a little bit of shoving and pushing in a go in a corner. Some yes, you're not going to start giving yellow cards to everybody that's ever pushed in a corner.
It's not.
You get the discretion of calling balls and strikes.
It does not. Things don't cancel each other
out. They kind of do because refs sometimes don't call pulls. Exactly what Pep said.
Look,
why do it now? That's ridiculous.
Look, and I'll give. This is as much credit as I'll give you. The ref agreed with you.
Yeah.
And didn't give the call. Didn't. Right. Said it was a goal because they were just kind of, they were pulling at each other. But the Haaland impeded Szoboszlai from giving up a goal.
The argument we're not making here, I'm not making an argument that this shouldn't have been a red. I'm simply saying that he shouldn't have been shown red. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I mean, look, it's such a ridiculous sentence.
Okay, so far you're saying you disagree with the ref? You disagree with Pep Guardiola. You disagree with Erling Haaland. And worst of all, you disagree with me.
Yeah. What? Who cares if I disagree with Pep or Erling Haaland or whatever? This is the rules call for he was given advantage. And advantage doesn't mean you could do whatever you want to score a goal.
But you don't see situations that are beyond the rules?
Not this. A dog so... A denial of an obvious, the word obvious is right in there,
the
of
ball
a goal scoring opportunity.
In.
And but Szoboszlai, before any of that happens, Szoboszlai pulls at a player that has the opportunity to confirm that there will be a goal.
Can you deny a goal scoring opportunity if a goal was scored?
Can you deny a goal scoring out if a goal was scored? But a goal was scored.
No.
A goal was not scored.
A goal was scored.
We look back at the sheet of what happened in the game.
Whether it was rescinded or not, was a goal scored in that situation? Did a ball go into the net?
A ball went in.
Okay.
But it's similar to the AFCON final. The ball went in for Senegal, but mm-hmm. the ref blew the whistle before.
Okay, first of all, again, that's a little straw man because there's a lot of questions about the refereeing in that final.
I'm just saying.
Simply talking about the situation.
That's not the argument that holds any real weight. Because
sure it does, because it's not dog show if a goal was scored. When you give advantage, it's to allow the team to play it out. If a goal gets scored,
it was dog so when Szoboszlai pulled Haaland. It was not dog so when Haaland pulled Szoboszlai.
No, but it's not dog so if a goal is scored. Because you did not deny a goal scoring opportunity. A goal was scored. Therefore, you cannot deny the opportunity for a goal to be scored when a goal is scored. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, but something happened
so now
in between.
Not in between. A goal was scored. A goal was scored.
Yes, a goal was scored.
So then there's not dog so.
But yeah, you're just simply, but again, I'm arguing, you can't, just because there was advantage was played,
mm-hmm.
and that doesn't mean you could do whatever you want to score a goal. So yes, a goal was scored. But you're not allowed to do whatever you want to score a goal.
Sure.
We know that.
The point I'm making is you are simply saying that the first foul already says, yes, you should have a red card. And while I agree with you, had Erling Haaland gone down and not been able to see the play through or hit the ball out of the way so it doesn't roll in.
But he's a monster. That's not easy
right.
to do
Again,
that to.
Again, Cyborg, yeah. not going to go down. It's not, right? He's the best Boston Dynamics machine we've ever seen, okay? And then he pulls and then fouls him. In my eyes, they're fouling each other. The ball goes in anyway. It's the end of the game. They were already in the lead. There's zero gained by giving this man a red card.
The game is not played through your eyes.
You know what? In fact, I think you're wrong because the ref agreed with me and was like, you know what? Just let it go. If it wasn't for VAR interfering, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, except you'd be in here going, excuse me, officer. I deserve not only a ticket, but I also wasn't wearing my seatbelt.
I would argue most refs would probably would say the same thing and say like, hey, there should have been... If PGMOL would have gone back and said, like, hey, actually, there should have been a red card given to Szoboszlai and a free kick awarded to Manchester City. That would have happened regardless. But VAR they stepped in. I'm not saying they should have stepped in. I could understand in the spirit of the game. I could understand what the ref was choosing to do because of it, he's basically.
So then why are you arguing against it if you can understand it?
Because I understand it doesn't mean it's right. It's not the right call. Haaland committed a foul that prevented Szoboszlai from clearing the ball. That means something in the context of the game, regardless if it's the first game of the first minute of the season or it's the last game of the season.
And this is where I disagree with you, because I think sometimes the spirit of the game, the referee should have the discretion to allow the spirit of the game to override whatever the specific rule is.
He could have overridden the VAR and be saying, like, no, I'm saying, but
I'm saying he should have. And you're saying, nope, letter of the law states right card is right card.
I'm not saying it like a dork. I'm saying
you've changed ever since you got the glasses.
Haaland committed a foul.
Sure.
And that deserves that context in the game. That has to be punished. He didn't have to pull him, but he wanted the ball to go in. That the only reason the ball went in is because Haaland fouled him. That's it.
But you're saying Szoboszlai deserves a red card because he fouled Haaland.
He committed a dog's offense. There was no goalkeeper. That's a red card all the time. If it's my team, your team, whatever, always a red card.
But you understand my point of like, sure.
Yeah,
but
you like the vibes and but like the context vibes. Of the season. And
it's the situation you're in. It's the 103rd minute. They're already in the lead.
It's Szoboszlai's fault. He shouldn't have committed the foul.
They're fouling each other, dog.
He did it first.
It doesn't matter.
If this was an Arsenal game, you would have lost your goddamn mind.
If you know what? I would be agreeing with you if this was the go-ahead goal. They were already ahead.
In the Premier League, every single foul, every single play matters. Look at you know how when teams foul an Arsenal player, they're like, oh my God, goddamn, another free kick, another corner. Every single
not in
moment,
the 104th minute.
He shouldn't have pulled the dude. He shouldn't have pulled Haaland. It's a red card regardless if Haaland fell or not.
Sure.
Regardless.
But it's stupid to give it to him. That's my point.
Fine. It's stupid or not, it's the rule. It's the law. And it's 100% the right call all the time. Szoboszlai should not have pulled him. If he didn't want to get red carded, don't pull Haaland. That's it.
It's ridiculous. You're trying to. He pulled him just enough. I truly believe he pulled him just enough. He didn't go down.
We've seen red cards given for less. A slight trip, a little nudge.
And as an Arsenal fan, they've often gone against me, and I've often always had this same stance, which is you don't give a red card in that situation.
Hell no, bro.
Anyway. Yeah, it's ridiculous. My letter of the law.
Okay.
But other things happened, by the way.
Let's talk about this title race, because that game in itself did every Arsenal fan. I was watching, what was it, Troops. It's always funny for like diehard fans of other teams are watching these matches and doing watch-alongs, and they're so obviously emotionally invested.
I was a Liverpool fan for 90 minutes. I don't know how y'all do this every week. This is ridiculous.
But no, that victory, and obviously the penalty, you know, Alisson commits the foul in the box, and Haaland scores the penalty. But that really just. If they would have, I mean, it's now 6 points. It would have been, seven? If they would have,
No, I think it is seven. It would have been.
It's currently.
It would have been 9 points.
If they would have lost, it would have been 9 points.
Yeah.
If right, it would have been
currently six. Yes. It was sitting at seven when they were drawing. Yeah.
Right. So they get Man City gets 3 points, but this was an opportunity for Liverpool to kind of help Arsenal out quite a bit. And
really help themselves. I mean, this is what an embarrassing day this is for Liverpool. At home, you've got fans of the away fans jumping onto the pitch to celebrate. It's embarrassing if you're a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, I mean, this is
our producer Ingrid wants to kill me for saying that, but this was embarrassing.
I don't know if it's embarrassing, but
you're looking at it here. I mean, Aston Villa kind of still involved. Manchester United, who knew they'd be there? City versus Arsenal again for the. Three out of 4 years. Mm-hmm. This is the fight towards the end of the season.
Sure. But for them I had seen a couple of people kind of basically saying like, Arsenal did their thing. They beat Sunderland 4-0 or something like that.
They beat Sunderland 3-0.
3-0.
Yeah.
And they just obviously need Man City.
Was it 3-0 or 4-0? It was 3-0. I was right.
And they just need them to slip up a little bit. But this was was this result like scary for you as an Arsenal fan, or do you think Arsenal fans are worried?
So there are some Arsenal fans that are not. I am not one of those people. Mm-hmm. I am very much in the camp of 6 points is very easy. you know, a slight injury to an important player, or, you know, Pep Guardiola finding another way to inspire his team at the end of the season, which he seemingly always does right after some big major loss or something. And this could be a good example of maybe that corner's been turned. It puts a lot of nervous energy into me when I think about what the next few matches look like. And I think we have the matches for City I don't want to call them easy, but they're easier than the list of matches that here we go. Just the next few matches we have coming up. Fulham, Newcastle. Newcastle
this is for Manchester City.
This is Manchester City. This Newcastle is probably their toughest, but Leeds, Nottingham Forest, and Fulham, those are all winnable matches. Nottingham Forest can prove to be a little difficult because I know Pep has had a lot of trouble with the low block this year, like everyone else does, obviously. Mm-hmm. But Newcastle, probably their toughest, and I think we all see the City that we saw go against Liverpool should be able to win these matches pretty comfortably. So the question starts to become the changes that Arsenal have made this year, becoming a bit more defensively stout, becoming so much deeper. Are they prepared enough? Is Gyökeres finding form? He's got 8 goal contributions the last 8 matches. Is he now finally in form? Does this, you know, push them? Kai Havertz coming back, Gabriel Jesus being back in match fit. Are all these things enough? Did they go out and get enough to be able to withstand another late season surge for Manchester City? Had it been 9 points, we'd all sit there and go, all right, 3 games is a big buffer. 2 is not that much of a buffer.
Yeah.
That's only a couple of draws, you know?
I don't know if this is necessarily a crazy statement, but I honestly think this season, I think Arsenal are the best team in the world. They look fantastic. They're not necessarily the most entertaining team in the world.
Okay, well, I've given up on that. You know what I mean? I want you to know.
No, but
it's about winning.
That's kind of what it takes, yeah.
Right? Somebody was talking about the 4 phases of the game, which Mikel Arteta talks a lot about, right? It's like defensive, you know, defensive transition, attacking third. You know, the 4 phases. No one is better at all 4 of them than Arsenal. That doesn't change the fact that Manchester City and under Pep Guardiola have a killer instinct and a winning mentality. And I know those things are non-quantifiable. So for me, it's like, can Arsenal continue to be that? Or will we see the loss to Aston Villa like we saw last season? You know, like those weird moments. Last season when it completely upended the end of our season.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, do we have those moments where suddenly we're no longer, you know, the best team in the world, right? You still have to put it together for the entire season. And that's why I think the Invincibles was so impressive. So while I agree with you, Arsenal is the best team in the world, I think we're looking at top of the Premier League, top of the Champions League, you know, undefeated in Champions League, clearly just running amok of anyone you put in front of them.
Final coming up.
In fact, I actually think Arsenal is so much better against giants of other leagues because those giants aren't playing a low block. And when it goes to, you know, when it comes to the Premier League, you have teams that are like, well, if we stay compact, maybe we can frustrate them. And it does frustrate them. You know, that's why I think the win against Sunderland was so big because they found ways around it. They found ways to score against the run of play. They didn't need penalties or own goals or anything crazy or any, you know, major set pieces. They found ways to score. That for me is like, you know, a breath of fresh air. And when you go against the Real Madrids of it all, they're not going to sit in a low block. They're going to come after you, and that's going to give us the space, and you're going to see our players shine. So while I agree with you, the best in the world, they still have to put it together to the end. Yeah. I know I'm wearing an Arsenal shirt or jacket, and I know I'm a fan, and I want to go to the parade. You know what I mean?
I think they need to. When is the Carabao Cup final? It's in a couple.
It's against Manchester City.
Yeah, but when is it? In a couple months? A month or two or something like that?
I think more important than that is going to be April 19th, which is when we go away to Manchester to Etihad.
Okay. I think they need to win that Carabao Cup final to win the league. I think if they lose to Manchester City.
You think the omen?
Yeah, I think it'll just be such
a. So it's going to be March 22nd.
Okay.
It's home at Arsenal, too.
They need to win that game because it psychologically, especially with you know, the team that is nipping at your heels, like they need to just. Just the nail in the coffin and be like, yo, you're not catching up to us and we're going to beat you in this.
Remember those old horror films? Remember them old horror films where they're like, oh, Jason's dead. Let's walk away slowly. Yeah. We're not to look back. And then, you know, Jason looks up. In your eyes, this is like, no, we finished the job fully.
Yeah, you got to make sure.
Yeah.
This is it. Look, there's going to be, I still think Arsenal are going to slip up and drop some points. But I think Man City are more likely to. Like, look at this. That first half against Liverpool was abysmal.
Dreadful, yeah. By the way, that was the first second half goal they've scored this year, this calendar year.
City?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. And even, look, the additions of the team looks slightly different, even with Semenyo. Doku's been injured. They're just playing a sort of...
Yeah, but now Gahey and Semenyo seems like he's warming up. Yeah. Things are starting to fall into place. And I'm like, what a terrible time for them to fall into place for you.
So we shall see. But yeah.
Can Pep do it again? It's probably his last season too, right? Those rumors are still swirling.
We'll see. All right. USMNT winger Tim Weah mentioned that he is not happy about the prices for tickets at the World Cup. Mauricio Pochettino responded by essentially saying, shut up and dribble. Let me know, will this public rift affect the team during the World Cup?
I'm not too worried about this being too much of a rift. Part of me feels that maybe Mauricio Pochettino was asked kindly, like, hey, can we not upset, you know, the powers that be? I'll just say that. And can you just simply say something? So in a way, if we look at this quote, now I'm always weary about quotes of Mauricio Pochettino because they're, I feel like sometimes they can be lost in translation.
Sure.
This one is very powerful, right? He says, players must speak on the field, playing football, not off it. It's not Weah's responsibility to evaluate ticket prices. We're not politicians. There's a couple more there, but he was very poignant in what he said. But I also feel like I can see his tone being like, we talk on the pitch, you know, where it's not really our place to talk. I can see the tone he's using. I don't agree with what he said. I think Tim Weah is a human being who wants fans to be able to afford and be able to go. And I hate the term real fans, but there's a lot of people that cannot afford the tickets that FIFA are putting out. And I also would want the biggest fans of the sport and the young kids who probably can't afford even a shirt or a ball to probably be able to afford a ticket or at least be able to go and be inspired to maybe play for the U.S. men's national team in the future or whatever country they're coming in from. So I agree with Tim Weah, and I disagree with the sentiment put out by Mauricio Pochettino, but I can understand Mauricio Pochettino feeling the pressure when you're the national team coach, especially the host country, with everything that's going on. I can understand him being like, I probably have to say this, and maybe messaging Tim like, Tim, say whatever the hell you want, but I gotta say this.
Okay,
maybe that's a fantasy of mine.
Sure, I don't know. I'm being a little hyperbolic with like the shut up and dribble, but it's kind of
no, you're not.
His quotes are
literally said that we play on the field. Not, yeah, I mean, we don't.
I'm sort of saying like I think he's trying to word it in a way where he's like almost trying to be protective of Tim Weah.
That's why I'm saying the words like, were chosen specifically.
Yeah, like you know, not to attack him so directly, but just more like to protect him from the criticism of a statement like that. But that's kind of the issue with, like, I think with this current administration, with us hosting the World Cup, with, you know, giving a peace prize to the president and all that stuff, where you sort of have to bite your tongue on a lot of things if you want to keep doing business out here.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to continue hosting, you want to make sure that there aren't too many issues. That there's a little bit of, like, probably U.S. soccer, FIFA, a lot of people sort of just bend the knee and be like, kind of look the other way on a lot of things that they're probably not happy with, or which is like the draw being moved from Vegas to DC, which I'm sure they were not happy with. But they're like,
yeah,
all right, well, if we want to host this thing, we already got a lot of money invested in all this.
Yeah, unfortunately, some of those things are probably out of your power. Like, can you really fight it? The trouble that it's going to cause fighting something like that, is it worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze at the end? You know what I mean? Because especially if there's a lot of, you know, visas not being approved and things like that. Like, it can just get messy. And we've seen retribution come before.
Sure. And that's the
even thing. You and I are soft stepping this fight.
No, not really. I mean,
like, I mean, we are in a sense.
I think that's the
like,
disappointing part. It's just that I think there is, I mean, we look at players like Megan Rapinoe that you know, went on, took a knee during the national anthem to you know, protest police violence and all these other things. Like, the idea that we're getting to a point where we don't want to deal with the headaches of like the things that are going on around us. We don't want to criticize those things because we don't want because our coach is going to get mad, or we shouldn't talk about that. Like, I think it goes against, I think, what's truly an American value in protests and stuff like that. And
Have you been paying attention? A lot of those have been eroded. So I agree with you.
But like for Tim Weah to even just comment on it and be like, yeah, the ticket prices are crazy. Like, he's not even saying anything that insane.
Yeah.
We all sort of understand that the prices are expensive. And for his coach to, and maybe FIFA or US soccer being like, tell Pochettino, like, yo, get your plays in order. Like, we can't be saying anything. And maybe that's actually happening. I don't know. But I credit Tim for saying it. I don't know if he's going to stop saying it or if he is just going to take the advice or whatever. But the fact that he said it, that a player said that, and I'm sure players from other countries have opined as well. But I think it's, I want to applaud Tim Weah for saying something. And it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm mad at Mauricio Pochettino for what he said. I think it's a little bit like, I think even in the criticism of Weah, Pochettino could have found a better way to do this than simply saying, like, we got to just talk on the field.
And this is why I also find it so difficult to someone who grew up, and I know you did as well, with parents who don't, English isn't their first language.
Yeah.
And even though my mother's been here 3x the amount of time she was in Cuba, it's still, English is not her first language. She can communicate very easily, but sometimes the words don't exactly match up because what she does is she says it in her brain in Spanish first and translates it. And it's always, so that's why it's very difficult for me to sit here and go, Mauricio Pochettino knew exactly what he was saying when he said, this wasn't a release statement. This was in conversation.
Sure.
So for me, I'm going to give him a little grace and say, I don't agree with your sentiment. Tim Weah, talk your talk, my G, right? I proved to the world once again that you definitely from New York. I know your dad played in a lot of places. You a New Yorker, bro. Talk your talk, say what you want, speak for the fans. I love it. You know what I mean? Because Tim Weah can afford the tickets. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah,
he didn't
sure.
have to speak for everyone else. So I'm glad he did. And for Mauricio Pochettino, I'm going to give a little grace here and say, you know what? Maybe you did the best you could with what you were asked to do, maybe, is sure, how sure. I feel. I'm not speaking, I have no sources. I'm not speaking from any point of knowledge. I'm simply saying, this feels like an untenable situation for Mauricio Pochettino to handle. And I think he handled it probably the best he could, but I wish it would have been a little better.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little, it's lazy in that he's talking about ticket prices and then Pochettino's like, we're not politicians. I'm like, okay, nobody's talking about politics.
Yeah, buddy, politics,
I'm just talking about, my groceries are expensive. It's not necessarily political. I'm sure there's a lot of infrastructure and a lot of reasons why my groceries might be expensive. I'm not necessarily having that big-ass conversation.
Yeah.
I think it was the we're not politicians jab is a little bit like it, that's when it gets like, well, it's almost like you're making you seemingly are making it political.
Right.
By saying that, he's just like, I want fans to be able to go to the games and they should be affordable.
I
think he should have showed a little bit more support to Tim Weah. That's
my favorite jokes are when I say something and it's like, you have to infer what I mean in your head. So you can't get mad at me.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like when we were hosting the World Cup draw. And I was this is a very important world. You know what I mean? On paper, you can't get. I'm not in trouble.
I can only lead a horse to water.
Yeah. But you drank it, you know. So, shouts to Tim Weah, man. We support your right to say that.
Yeah. No,
do your thing.
Okay. All right.
I said speak up and dribble. You know what I mean? Do both, buddy.
I'm like, talk all you want.
Yeah,
I'm like,
talk that talk, Timmy.
That's the thing is, even if they like players talk and say some crazy stuff, then I'm like, at least I know you crazy.
Yeah.
Now I know I don't like you.
This is like when I went to a new school in 7th grade and someone called me a horrible slur for Latinos. I was like, hey, guess who I'm not wasting time trying to be friends with? Guess who's not invited to the quince?
You sorted it out for me.
Yeah. You helped me make my decision.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of
Wonderful
Hooligans.
People.
MLS season starts in about 2-3 weeks.
It's crazy.
We're going to have a couple fun guests lined up to get ready for the new season. So be on the lookout
for that. Maybe we'll have to get a taller chair for Lionel when he comes. Oh, he's not coming? Oh, okay. What a shame.
Imagine.
Yeah. Anything
could
happen.
Could we ever? Is there any way that could actually happen? I mean, there's a lot.
But you and I don't own guns. So there's no way that's going to happen.
we never thought we would like interview David Beckham and that happened.
There could be. I'm gonna leave the door open.
Messi's teams are just a little bit, it almost doesn't even matter like who you know.
Maybe we should call Beckham
because Messi's done like interviews with like Argentinian comedians.
He has
like, well, humorous sort of interviewers.
Yeah,
and he's like seems to be like
what
sort
if you
of
and I
it.
Become famous in Argentina.
That's the move, everybody.
Okay. we'll start working on that, but thank you so much for watching and listening.
Look, our country has sent a lot of money over there. We could just be like, yo, I'm just
look
I'm
at us a couple soybeans.
I'm just coming to collect what I'm owed.
Yeah.
My tax money is I live here now.
If it wasn't for me, you'd be speaking German. Right, Argentina?
That's what we say to them in English. They don't know what we're saying, but But thank you again, as always. We always appreciate everybody listening. Make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans on all social platforms. Follow us on Blue Sky, and make sure you hit like and subscribe on YouTube if you haven't yet. Anything else before we go, Alexis?
Nah, love you guys.
Take care, everybody.